My text is Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, but I'd like to read a verse of scripture first from Matthew chapter 13, if you would turn there. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 13. Excuse me, verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth. He hears and he understands. I want to attempt to bring a message on understanding sovereign grace. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we leave this place with some spiritual understanding where God has taught us understanding sovereign grace? Romans chapter 5, I'd like to read verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. A couple of years ago, Lynn and Aubrey and I went to the Grand Canyon, something I always wanted to do. And we flew into Phoenix, Arizona, and we were going to be there over the weekend, and I wanted to see if I could find a Sovereign Grace Church. So I Googled Sovereign Grace Phoenix, and lo and behold, in Phoenix, Arizona, there was a Sovereign Grace Church. I was very excited about going to church there. And I Googled this, and I got on the website. I'm up with it. I looked at it on the website, and it was a charismatic church. It was a tongue-speaking charismatic church. And I found out at that time that what they meant by sovereign grace and what I meant were two totally different things.
Amen.
The term sovereign grace is actually becoming more popular. There was an article in Time magazine recently entitled The New Calvinism. Now, when something becomes popular, you can be assured it has become corrupted. The offense has been removed. It's become easier to accept and easier to receive. What does sovereign grace mean? Sovereign means supreme power, absolute control. God is sovereign. He does as he pleases. He does only as he pleases. And he does always as he pleases.
Amen.
Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. You cannot believe God is sovereign and believe that man has a free will.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Impossible.
What do I mean by free will? Now, we do what we want to do, don't we? We do what we want to do. Everything you do because that's what you want to do. Same with me. Men, we will to do what we want to do. That being true, it's also true that God exercises absolute sovereignty over man's will. God's will is sovereign over man's will. Yes, we do what we want to do, but that belief that man has a free will, that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody and wants to save everybody, but it's up to your will as to whether or not you'll be saved. You don't believe in God if you believe that. You don't believe in a sovereign God.
You're right, sir.
Grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor to sinful men. Now, if there's anything that I can do that will move God to do something for me, that is a denial of grace.
Amen.
That makes salvation by works. Now, to call grace sovereign grace is really kind of, I don't know, you know, I mean, grace. Grace. If it's grace, it's sovereign. It has to be sovereign if it's grace. It's kind of redundant, you know, kind of like calling it free grace. Well, of course it's free grace if it's grace at all. But sovereign grace. Now, how would the Bible define this term, sovereign grace? Well, somebody says, well, the word sovereign's not in the Bible. That's true. Neither is the word Trinity. But they're both taught on every page, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, in Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, we have what I believe is a very simple definition of sovereign grace. And if I want to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have some understanding of what is said in these two verses of Scripture. And I've got 6 points to this message. To understand sovereign grace, first of all, I'm going to have some understanding of the purpose of God's law. The law entered. And secondly, to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have some understanding of the place where sin abounds. And thirdly, for me to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have some spiritual understanding of how that grace abounds. And fourthly, to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have some understanding of this word righteousness. And fifth, to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have some understanding of eternal life, what it is. And last, to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have some understanding that it is by our Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding sovereign grace. Now look in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, by the law, Paul is referring to Exodus chapters 20 through 23, when God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The commandment against idolatry and taking his name in vain, and the commandment regarding the Sabbath, and the commandment regarding honoring your father and mother and all authority, the commandment concerning thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, the law. Now, what is the purpose of the law? Well, first of all, the law gives us some idea of the character of God. He is absolutely just and holy. He hates sin, and there's no three strikes you're out, it's one strike and you're out.
Amen.
That is the law of God. Absolute justice, absolute holiness. The law of God tells us something about the character of man. You see, I don't become a liar when I lie. I lie because I'm a liar.
Yes,
amen. I don't become a thief when I steal. I steal because I'm already a thief in my heart. The law exposes character. The law was not made for a righteous man. If you need to be under law, all you say by that is I'm a monster. That's it. In reality. The law was not made for a righteous man. That's what Paul said to Timothy. But for sinners and ungodly. You're familiar with that passage of Scripture. And for me to have some understanding of the purpose of the law, I need to see, look back in our text at verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. Now we think of the law as restraining sin, don't we? That's what we think of. And I'm thankful for the laws of our land that do restrain sin, aren't you? I mean, if we didn't have laws in this land, we couldn't go outside without something horrible happening. I'm thankful for laws in that sense, but the strength of sin is the law. God's law does not restrain sin. It just stirs it up, and it exposes us to be what we are. Now, if I can look at God's law and fail to see that I've not kept one commandment one time, I am in darkness. I have no understanding of the law. All the law does is expose me as a lawbreaker. Nothing else. That is the purpose of God's law. Now, here's the second point. For me to understand something about sovereign grace, I am going to have to understand something about the place where sin abounds. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the place where sin abounded? Where's that? Where's that? Where sin abounded. Where the offense abounds, where it overflows. Now, where sin abounds, that means that all that's there is sin. Nothing else. Cut it open and what do you see? Nothing but sin. Where sin abounds, where sin overflows. Now, if you and I ever get some understanding of what God's law is actually saying, we're going to see that we are the place where sin abounds. Sin rules human nature. Paul put it this way, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The Lord said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, is the slave of sin. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination, every one of them, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The place where sin abounds. You know, if you had a free will, you could choose to be holy, couldn't you? You could choose to be good. Try it. I hope I'm saying this, really believing it. Sin abounds in me. I'm the chief of sinners, and I'm going to get mad at you if you agree with me. That's how bad I am. All I do is sin.
Amen.
I cannot not sin.
Oh, man.
I cannot look down my nose at anybody. And all my sin is all my fault.
Amen.
I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim to the sovereignty of God. It's not my upbringing's fault. All my sin is all my fault. And if God saves everybody in this room but me, He's just and holy and perfect. Do you believe that about yourself? The place where sin abounds. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, everywhere where you find a place where sin abounds, you know what? Grace does much more abound. No exceptions. Now, how is it that grace abounds? Well, let's go on reading. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is God's unmerited favor, given, not offered, not offered. God never offers grace. God gives grace.
Amen.
God saves by His grace. Wherever sin abounds, grace does much more abound without it being earned in any way. God's grace is in no way dependent upon human works, worth, or will. You said that last night. It depends solely on God's will and not cannot be earned by merit nor lost by guilt. Grace is absolutely free of any human influence. If human influence is involved in any way, it ceases to be grace. Now, notice Paul said that as sin hath reigned unto death. Now, how much power, how much ability do you have to stop death? Is there anything you can do to keep death from taking place? No. This is how much reign sin has.
That's right.
You're
going to
die. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. And we have no control. Now, in the same manner, just as sin reigns unto death, so that death has power over you. You can't stop it. You can't prevent it. In the same way that sin reigns unto death, grace reigns. Grace is unstoppable. It's invincible. It's irresistible. It can't be held down. It can't be prevented. Now, sin is described as a tyrannical king in its reign, the one who controls, the one whose will is done. But here's the gospel. Just as you cannot prevent the reign of sin, you cannot prevent the reign of grace. Grace is portrayed as a ruling king whose will must be done. Sovereign, invincible grace that will not take no for an answer. Wherever sin abounds, are you that place? Are you a place where sin abounds? In that very place, grace does much more abound. How grace reigns. How grace reigned in eternal election when God, as an act of His own free and sovereign will, by His grace, chose a people in Christ. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. Grace reigns in justification, being justified freely by his grace. Now, when Christ died, all my sins put away. I have no guilt. I'm perfectly righteous before God. How grace reigns in that. God justifying the sinner. Grace reigns in the sin payment, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, how his grace reigns that he would give his son. What in you, what in me could merit God giving his son? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. How grace reigns in forgiveness, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. His forgiveness is full, free, everlasting, and irreversible. It's not like ours. Narrow, difficult, half-hearted, with strings attached. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now you listen to me real carefully regarding this thing of forgiveness. False religion makes forgiveness the end. If you do this, if you do that, if you start doing this and stop doing that, if you turn things around, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. False religion makes forgiveness the end. The gospel begins.
Hallelujah.
Begins with the full, free, frank forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
How grace reigns in calling. Lazarus, come forth. Could Lazarus say no? How grace reigns in preservation. Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And I'll tell you what I'm going to understand something about the reign of grace. I mean, you know, our understanding is very small, isn't it? I mean, it's very... I'm thankful for what understanding we have. But when I stand before the judgment throne and hear him say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When I hear the heavenly choir, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm going to understand something about the reign of grace.
Amen.
To understand sovereign grace, I have to have some understanding of righteousness. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Now understand this about God's grace. God's grace is righteous grace. It does not make sin okay. It does not excuse sin. It puts away sin. Psalm 71:16, David said, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Now, why is that? Because his righteousness is the only righteousness. And I'm saved by the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sin became his. He became guilty of my sin. He experienced everything there is in sin, with the exception of the commission of it. He knew all the guilt and the shame and the degradation and the humiliation of my sin. And his righteousness becomes mine. And grace reigns through righteousness.
Amen.
This is righteous grace. It doesn't make sin okay. It doesn't sweep sin under the cover. Grace reigns through righteousness. And fifthly, grace reigns unto eternal life.
Amen.
Now, what I'm talking about is where eternal life comes from. The life of God in the soul. There is no eternal life without the reign of God's grace.
That's right.
And then, to understand sovereign grace, I'm going to have to understand something about it being by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's the author of this.
Yeah.
He's the finisher of this. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God embodied.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to close by looking in the passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to show you, if I hope the Lord shows me and shows you, the key to understanding sovereign grace. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Grace reigning from a throne. Sovereign grace. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here's the first question I want. Who's he talking about when he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace? Am I in this group? Who's he talking to? I mean, that's a big thing. Come boldly to the throne of grace? Come on. Who's he talking to? Who's the us? Well, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's people who need to obtain mercy. And it's people who need to find grace to help.
Amen.
In time of need. Anybody like that? Come on. Let us come boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace. How come? Because it's a throne of grace. Complete, unmerited favor. There's nothing holding you back. If you need grace, if you need mercy, come on boldly. Don't hold back. This is a command. Let us come. You know when the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I love that. I know it's called the great invitation. And it is, but it's more than that. It's a command.
Amen.
It's a command.
Amen.
Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? To obtain mercy. And find grace to help. When? In time of need. Now here is the key to having a spiritual understanding of sovereign grace. I need sovereign grace. I need God to elect me. Election is absolutely necessary. I will not be saved if God doesn't choose me. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to effectually pay for my sins and put them away where there is no more. Because if he doesn't, it's over for me. I need his effectual redemption. I need irresistible grace because I resist it if I don't have irresistible grace. I need that. I need him. I need to be preserved. I need sovereign grace, God's grace, or I won't be saved. I need sovereign grace. And I need to hear sovereign grace preached.
Amen.
And if you need sovereign grace, you need to hear the truth preached.
Amen.
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 Thanks, guys.